Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet, and today is Monday, June 9th, 2014, and I have with me today Brian Chaffin. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. And also, Kelly Gaumont. Hey there, Kelly.
How do?
I do fine. And thank you for asking. Okay, so today we have a couple cool topics. First one being something that you wrote about, Brian, which I found to be really interesting, and it's that Apple has bought yet another company.
Yeah, a company called SpotSetter. They used to make an app for iOS and Android. Both of those apps have since been pulled, but their whole thing was local discovery via crowdsourcing. So making recommendations to you based on a variety of social networking based information. And this included restaurants and, you know, clubs and a whole bunch of different things. I think they had like a million different curated locations. 40 million installing. Anyone remember what that was? 40 million locations, 1 million curated venue content items. That was what it was. And then 5 million user profiles.
So Apple bought a social network location company along the lines of Foursquare.
No. Not Foursquare, not like Foursquare, because what they were doing is they're making recommendations to you about where to go.
So this is Yelpier than Foursquare.
It's a lot more even than Yelpier. It's a lot more than Yelp. This is about discovery, not looking something up.
Okay.
I just want to point out the way these sentences are coming out of our mouths. 10 years ago, people would have thought we'd had a stroke.
It's true. Now, what was really interesting to me, and the TechCrunch who broke the story, they didn't mention this, but I had a friend who was involved in this Google project called Hotbot, which was restaurant recommendations based on your friend's recommendations. So almost exactly the same thing, but
I remember that, and it like showed up and it was like, oh, this is neat. And then it was gone.
Yeah. Google, it ended up being axed during a great reaping, semi-annual great reapings at Apple or at Google.
Google's Hunger Games.
It was technically folded into something else, but really it was essentially killed. And but the SpotSetter project was definitely a lot bigger, both in scope and in terms of the areas that it was seeking to recommend. One of the things that they said, and I'm going to quote, this is from SpotSetter CEO Johnny Lee. He said, "Our users won't have to explicitly search. They get a great recommendation at the appropriate time with the right amount of content. Then they continue to enjoy the physical world without a thought about technology." So this is about giving you information before you necessarily know that you need it, which is something that Google does with Google Now, something that Apple has been has been steadily adding to with its Today view in Notification Center. And it certainly is an Apple-like approach to a problem.
And it totally fits in with your notion that Apple isn't getting into social networking. They're buying a company that will enhance Siri.
Yeah, this is about discovery. I think this is a lot more about Siri and discovery than it is about maps. I mean, you know, SpotSetter displayed all this information superimposed over a map. That was definitely their approach. But I think this is a lot less about making maps better, Apple Maps, and a lot more about making Siri's recommendations better and about local discovery, because local discovery is still an uncracked problem.
Truly.
You know, on one hand, I'm kind of excited about this idea that I have in my head, while simultaneously thinking, boy, that would get annoying. But the idea of being able to walk down the street and have Siri tell me something like, Jeff, you have said that you're really interested in trying this new type of sandwich. It's available at the shop across the street.
Have a coupon.
Have a coupon.
Well, we don't know how that's going to how it's necessarily going to work that way. We don't know if Apple. So Apple supposedly bought the company both for its founders, including Johnny Lee and Michael TSE. I don't know.
Let's go with Say. Michael Say.
Stephen. It's actually Stephen. Stephen Say and Johnny Lee. And Stephen Say was an engineer at Google with their maps department. Anyway, Apple wanted them, and they wanted the technology too. Not all of the employees went over to Apple, for whatever that's worth. But we don't know what exactly Apple's going to do with it. But I do think it's about Siri and local discovery versus improving maps per se.
So the two things I think of when I'm looking at this and trying to figure out what it means for Apple, the first is we heard about this one. Remember when we listened to the earnings call and they said that Apple had bought 24 companies in 18 months or whatever it was? And yeah. We all went, wow, who were they? Because we didn't hear about any of them, you know, anywhere near as many of them as they've actually purchased. So that was the first thing I thought when I saw this was, hey, they bought a company and we're hearing about it. And then the second thing I think about this is when I think about Jeff's scenario of I'm walking down the street and it says, hey, Jeff told you should try this sandwich. Here's a coupon. The thing about it is, to me, I'm sort of okay if my phone does this through Apple, but if Google wanted to do this or Facebook wanted to do this, I would absolutely unequivocally do everything I could to make sure that my phone was not capable of that. But somehow I'm okay with it if Apple's the one that's behind it.
Well, Apple hasn't broken your trust yet. Google has.
Oh, repeatedly.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that that's a rational position.
It absolutely isn't, and I have no way to defend it.
It's something that I understand. But you know, at the heart of it, it's that if Apple is collecting information on you, it's to improve a service. And if Google is collecting information on you, it's to profit from that information. It's
to sell to something else. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're lucky, if you get a little service to go with that. So,
right.
Yeah. It's
before the Hunger Games take it away. That's right. May the odds be never in your favor.
Yeah. And all of a sudden I have a sad inside.
Yep.
Okay. Well, on that happy note, I'd like to move on to another topic, which is, my segue is just not going to work. So, hey, Apple stock split happened today. And so now everyone that had one share of Apple stock on Friday has 7 shares today.
Oh my God, that's so much more.
So much more. Like 7.
That's like one for every day of the week.
It truly is.
Literally, yes, indeed, it literally is. Yeah, so we got a 7-for-1 stock split that went into effect. The trading went into effect on a split-adjusted basis today.
Right, and I was watching the stock in pre-market trading, and it was hovering just over $92.
It's at $93.68 at the moment.
And it's at $93.68.
It's now, up $1.46, 1.58% for those keeping score at home.
Right. And so analysts have started adjusting their target prices for Apple stock. And the target price is where they project it could be in 12 months. And so the first one that I checked out today was Maynard from Wells Fargo. And he does a target range, which to me feels sort of like a cop-out. Just own the price. Yeah. Stick to it.
Is.
But even still, Apple is trading above the high end of his target price right now.
Well, so that's actually not as crazy as it may sound. or obvious as it may sound, because an analyst can say that a stock is worth X amount, which is essentially saying that the market when the price is above that amount, if the analyst doesn't adjust, they're essentially saying that the market is paying too much for that company.
See, I love setting you up like that because you always come up with exactly the right thing to bring those numbers into context.
I am here to serve.
I appreciate that. So how are you feeling about the stock split?
The stock split is both cool and means nothing. Nothing actually changed in the value of the company, but the reality is that at the split-adjusted price, the Apple stock is in the range of more retail investors. But retail investors are that's a good thing for the little guy. You know, it's easier for the little guy to invest, $1,000 and get 12 shares rather than invest $1,000 and get one share and then have some money left over, get some change back. And it's just an easier concept for people to wrap their heads around. But it just doesn't actually change. This doesn't directly change the value of Apple. It can simply have a positive or negative, in this case, it'll be positive, I think, effect on the way people perceive Apple. So I don't know. It's, I have now 7 times as many shares as I did, which still means I have very, very few shares. And they're worth the same amount of money, except for the now it's 1.58% more today.
And so the aggregate value for the stock you have is no different than it would have been if it had gone up the same amount on Friday.
Correct. Yeah, on Friday. So, 7 times 146 is what, 1022. So on Friday, if the stock hadn't split this morning, the market would likely have moved the stock up by $10 instead of $1.46.
Okay. Now, if you hold on to your stock long term, at some point, it becomes for you worth more than what it would have been as an individual stock. Is that right?
Only if the stock split itself has enough psychological effect to have brought additional value to the company that the company would not have received without the stock split.
Okay.
And that's completely immeasurable. There's almost no way to know if and when that has happened. The reality here is that Apple is just in the it's just in the range of more people. But I think I started to say this earlier and then cut myself off. Retail investors make up such a tiny percentage of the stock market in the first place, mm-hmm. that there is a limit to how even that effect can help a stock. Even a stock like Apple, which has a lot of fans who own the stock.
Now, I don't own any Apple stock, but to be fair, I don't own any stock right now. But now that the stock split has happened, I'm considering picking up a few shares just because I can. How about you, Kelly?
I currently don't own any. What strikes me about this is that maybe, I know it's a tiny percentage, but as an optimist, I like to think that more people will maybe look at Apple as an opportunity, whether it's a day trading thing or as part of a fund that maybe they get through a 401k or whatever. And as it becomes something where they're like, Apple makes a lot of stuff. Apple's been doing really well. Obviously, the stock wouldn't have split if they weren't doing well. So that seems like a good sign, too. And people will start sort of investing in it and maybe follow it a little bit more. And maybe some of this doomed stuff will go away as more people are investors and go, but gosh, the stock went up. I don't know how this guy is saying they got to make a watch. Like, they seem to be doing okay without one. So I'm hopeful that bringing the price down, because it was like 600 and something, right, before the split.
Yep.
$600 and some dollars. Mm-hmm. Now it's 90. So I'm hoping that maybe as it becomes an attractive option for more people, that people will be a little bit informed about the companies they're investing in, and maybe this will help mitigate some of that. And I like the sort of general good feeling stuff that Brian was referring to. Those are the sort of mysteries that move the stock market, is an investor's general good feeling toward a particular company in one way or another. That's why, like, after an oil spill, it doesn't really matter who's responsible. All the oil companies take a little bit of a hit. That's the kind of mystery that's attached to those seemingly arbitrary numbers over in the stock market. So I'm hoping that maybe some of that will change, especially because this was a really big split. I don't remember ever hearing about more than maybe a 2-to-1 stock split, and 7-to-1 just seems really, really vast to me. So maybe when people look at that, and they will see it as a measure of Apple's success, and hopefully keep this from being, you know, really what it comes down to is I want to read less articles about how Apple is doomed, and maybe this will help that.
maybe it will.
But it won't.
Okay, so now we're ending.
Let me have my dreams, Brian.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Now we're ending both segments today on down notes. Well done.
Yay!
Yay. But on the
and
upside,
now Brian's happy.
Yeah. On the upside, Brian, thank you for helping sort out exactly what the stock split means for everyone.
Of course.
And Kelly, thank you for being on yet again. Both of you guys rock.
Thanks so much, Jeff. So do you.
Sometimes I roll.